done. Okay, journey begin.
Well, thank you, Council, for joining me in this work session this evening. Hopefully we can roll right through this in an hour. I'm going to make a good, strong attempt to get through the utilities, the facilities, and the street projects for this year in a one-hour work session, and hopefully avoid a second work session in the following 2 weeks. So
try and save questions for the end.
I think in this format, I'd like you to ask questions along the way, if you would, because I'm just going from project to project. So given that it is a fairly long list, I'll make my efforts to work through it, but I also want to make it meaningful. So if you do have questions, if you had an opportunity to formulate some questions ahead of time, or some just come to mind as we go along, please feel free to just raise your hand and we'll start a discussion. So I went ahead and just sectioned this off by the utilities. So we've got water, and we're going to roll into street and storm, and hopefully, if time permits, water, sewer, and we'll roll into street and storm and some facilities, if time permits. So I'd like to start with water. Some of this we've already gone through, so I will try to be brief on each of these. More importantly, this is going to be kind of a living document, so you'll see this more often, just kind of a little bit of additional info here. I also want to be able to reach out to the public with a little bit better information available on our website. And so this was kind of an attempt to make it a little more graphical so that folks could see what was going on, as well as the schedule, so folks could kind of anticipate some of those disruptions rather than us giving a week or two's notice or a month's notice right before we start making some potential impacts to their utilities or their streets. Councilwoman Birch.
I didn't see any curbs or gutters or sidewalks on Portal Way. Did I miss it in here, or is that not being addressed at all?
Right now, I've been working with Bo. I'm working on sidewalk replacement. That's something we're looking strongly at right now, is on Portal. And I have a kind of a proposal, but it wasn't quite developed enough, and we wanted to come forward and take a look at these today. So I'll come back again with two additional things, which is what we're going to do with kind of our overlay program. That's going to include the Main Street project we'll talk about tonight. And then we've got kind of this bucket of money to work on sidewalk replacement, but we hadn't got a chance to go through all the ratings yet and figure out exactly what areas we want to target. And I was also kind of waiting for some of the staff to come back from vacation so that we could kind of get everyone bought into what we're going to try to do and try to package out for a bid this year. So it's a good question, though. More to come. So always. I know it's exciting. Public Works is really exciting to me. So,
infrastructure is exciting.
It is very exciting. So,
it was riveting reading it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank God for the pictures.
I'm so encouraged. Yes, pictures say 1,000 words. So, the projects are numbered, so I'll reference the numbers. Water's got a W in front of it, so like Project W28, which was a water system plan update. This is something that's been kind of slated over the last couple of years in our comp plan. Periodically, we do updates. We have $100,000 included in the budget this year to do a water comp plan update. So that's what this is placeheld for. We'll be looking at dealing with some consultants here probably the first quarter of this year. We've already engaged by one or two consultants who are interested in doing the work. So we'll have to go through a selection process moving forward on that this year, hopefully to have a comp plan update by the end of the year. So that's my goal. You also have Project W29, which is our long-term water supply plan and water storage study. So this ties in closely with our capacity and future storage needs. This affects areas like the Grandview areas and then south down to Slater and how those areas are going to be served. These are some of the and it's kind of self-explanatory, longer-term goals that we have to look at, how we're going to supply the densities and the zoning for certain parts of the city as we get towards the outlying areas. So we've earmarked some money. This will probably piggyback pretty closely with the comprehensive plan. We'll try to package it together and save some money that way, which looks like we'll probably be able to do. Some of the consultants have shown an interest in doing that. So we'll be moving forward on that. So Project W31, Water Reservoir Mixer, which is... I was noted earlier, is incorrectly labeled on the map that shows the overall projects, but we'll get that fixed. This is effective at both tank sites. Basically, it's a necessary to reduce sediment and biofiltration biofilm, which can lead to some issues with the water quality. Also helps with tank cleaning. So it's kind of some preventative aspects, the things we wanted to add to the tank. It's been on the list for a few years. It's something we wanted to get done. We've got some money to do it this year. We have a limited capital budget in water, which we're trying to kind of stretch those dollars as best we can to get some of these smaller items that we've been kind of putting off to handle water quality within the system and help some of the maintenance costs. So, questions on that? Nothing? Okay. So Project W32, which is the Thornton Pump Station Generator and Reservoir 1, you got the variable frequency drive and switchgear replacement. That's what VFD stands for, as far as I can recall. These are some upgrades, necessary upgrades that we need to have, and then adding the generator will improve or eliminate the need for our quick response time when we do have some power outages. So this was, again, an item that's been on the list for quite a few years, and the comp plan is needed, getting some generator backup power. And then at the same token, we want to do some improvements to the facility to make it operate a little bit more efficiently, both for power and for maintenance costs going forward. So Project W32 is a very similar project, almost identical, less the generator. So.
You mean 33, excuse me.
Thank you, Sam. So Project W34, which is the Thornton Water Main Crossing under I-5. Right now, we don't have enough budget to get this constructed in 2015, but I would like to get it designed and ready to go for 2016. It's a precursor to the Thornton Overpass, as well as some other projects we'll talk about in here with some sewer-related work. It's a directional bore into the I-5 corridor. It'll add connectivity and loop that system, that section of the system, which adds a nice bit of redundancy to that portion of the city. And we'll do our best to try to tie that in with the Malloy and LeBounty sewer projects, which we'll talk about here in a few minutes. But right now, just couldn't quite squeeze enough dollars, but we'll see what we can get with it. Project W35 is the Central City's upgrades and consolidation. So we've talked a lot about this, so I'll be brief, but they need to upgrade their system. We've gotten a loan from the state to help facilitate that with quite a bit of forgiveness, upwards of $737,000 in forgiveness of about a $2.2 million project. We're moving forward with that with our contract with the state. We've submitted a lot of information they've requested and needed before the first part. Councilmember Mushler?
Forgiveness for the old association members or for the city? What is
this is
who benefits from that?
Right now, the way we're going to attempt to finance this, in my outlook, is to create a unique customer class. So when we actually take over Central City's customer base, which is, I think, about 114 customers, if memory serves, in order to repay that debt and isolate it, we need to create a special class, which would be that neighborhood or those customers. So to do that, the easiest way would be they're going to pay a unique rate, so we give them their own unique customer class. It's a much cleaner approach to make sure that they're paying their share of buying into the system. And right now, their system, as it is inadequate. The association has agreed to update it. They're already collecting $50 a month from those households in an effort to build up their reserves, which they've done a pretty good job of having their reserves at a point now where they've already started design. They're getting close to finishing the topographic surveys.
But technically, the forgiveness is to the city because technically this is the city's loan.
Yeah.
Does the city somehow come out ahead 700 over the time, or?
Well, if you want to consider the central service folks of the city, which of course they are, insofar as it's less for them to repay.
It's not like they're paying a certain amount. It's going to cost us less than that. We get to pocket 700.
No,
okay. I'm just looking for money. And I was sniffing around a bit here.
Sniff elsewhere.
Discovering the pot in the rainbow.
Well, we're doing okay, sewer,
very thoughtful.
An additional
Yeah. No, unfortunately,
be number two, Mark.
If any benefit, it's just to reduce cost of the loan. So as we get to the end,
we know a slush fund that we could move that to.
No, I'm afraid not. We
have to all right. Let's roll back around the seriousness here.
Okay. So that concludes the water projects I have for 2015, and a few of those that also have some planning elements going into 2016. Are there any questions on the water part, Councilmember Olson?
This looks very ambitious. Are we going to be anticipating a rate increase to finance all this stuff, or do we have enough in reserves?
No rate increase is planned because of these. Okay. Now the connection fees have to come in pretty close to budget. That's a variable. But the rate and fees are pretty sure within 1 or 2 percentage points of budget.
Thanks.
Other than COLA.
Yeah, and the COLA's in place.
Any other questions on the water? Then I'll move on down here through the wastewater, which is a very aggressive capital plan for this year as well as some planning. But I feel like we're very capable of delivering on most of this, if not all of it, which would be my goal. Well, the first sewer project we have listed is the upgrade to pump station 2, which is currently under design. We should have design completed this year. We've slated for, and some of this also has to do with the amount of staff time and availability to actually administer construction of the projects. We wanted to go ahead and move forward with design and slow down pump station 2 and 3, which are kind of, they're very similar designs, but they're moving along kind of at the same pace. So Wilson Engineering is the consultant who's been working on the design of the upgrades to the two stations. We're on schedule to have the design and permitting done this year and construction beginning pretty early in 2016. We'll see how early we can actually we decide we want to start depending on what we ultimately are looking at for the upgrades at each of those sites. Because there won't necessarily be a sense of urgency, but we would like to get those upgrades done as soon as we can so that we don't have to be too overtly concerned with the aging of the two facilities. So pump stations 2 and 3, again, kind of on the same path, design in 15, build in 16. The two consolidated projects, we're going to run close to about $2 million in upgrades. The rehab of pump station 4, which is project SS3, is moving forward. We'll have design completed, or it's about 100% completed right now. I'm just waiting kind of day-to-day on the final package as we get a package ready for bid. That'll be built this year. So you'll see the total amount that we've estimated with the assistance of our consultants at Wilson Engineering, about a $765,000 expense for that. Any questions thus far? Okay. Pump station 11 is in need of some rehabilitation. Some motor control panel is starting to outdate. We've had some failures. Failures mean response time, which means overtime a lot of the time. So in order to kind of maintain these systems, we have to organize these schedules to try to do these rehabilitations and these upgrades as needed. We're getting towards the end of life cycle on some of the facilities and some of the pumps, and so this is a project that's looking at some basic upgrades and improvements for the control system, just more or less a big, fairly expensive maintenance project, but it's certainly something that's necessary.
What area does this pump station serve in?
Pump station
11?
Might.
I'm curious.
Yeah. Unrine Drive at the base of Unrine Drive. Oxford Court, that area.
Thank you.
So sewer project number 5 is the Meadows pump station, which I tried to give you a few exhibits here. I'm not sure if they showed up very well, but if you have any questions, there'll be a little bit more information brought to you in about 4 weeks for a kind of a latecomers assessment that we need to discuss about the sewer force main and pump station, which is one project, which is also one piece of the two-piece, the second piece being a gravity sewer that we went and entered into a development agreement with a developer to install. Looks like they're on pace to start this spring. For all intents and purposes, everything I've heard from their engineering staff, they're getting ready to move forward in the spring. This will be one of the first things they break ground on is the pump station. The city's made a financial commitment to share those costs for the improvements above and beyond what was needed for the subdivision. So the amount here, just over $400,000, is reflective of kind of that additional cost in order to increase the amount and the area that could be served at the basically at the city's request in order to better serve the region. So there's a service area that's much larger than the plat. So I tried to include a photo here of kind of the general layout of the phase one and phase two of the Meadows as it's been approved. And then next to that is that green area represents the larger service area. Basically, it's a topographic. It's based on elevation, what can be served. So the lines are not necessarily, there's not a lot of symmetry there because it's following the topography of the land, the highest levels that we could serve. So in about 4 weeks, I'll come forward. Greg, you have a
comment? I was just going to say, we can see the $404,550 is the estimate. Whatever the dollar amount is, we'll latecomer. So these additional properties that develop over and above the Meadows, that arguably we're paying for that extra work, will eventually recoup this $404,000 or whatever the number is over time. As they come in, we'll have an assessment per.
But there's a sunset where latecomer ends in
20 years.
Yeah.
20.
Again?
20, but I think with utilities we can go 30.
Oh, that's not, okay. It's not like 5.
I think it's, no, it's pretty
it's
long.
It's 15 and 20.
15 and
15 20. For streets and 20 for utilities. The law did just, the RCW did change in 2014. They changed that.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Any questions on that? Okay. So Project 6 is Pump Station 17. This is, again, kind of a maintenance project, but I just wanted to make sure that it has a little bit of information on. If you see anyone down at Pump Station 17 later this year, we may even be able to do a lot of this with in-house staff, but we will kind of see how this shakes out for some floodproofing and some needed reduction in INI that we get during some really high weather and high flows into the system when we get heavy rainfall. Councilmember Bush?
When was this installed?
Pump Station 17. Mike, do you know when?
Late 70s, early 80s. Has it been sinking? Or why wasn't it corrected when it was installed?
I think this is more of a design issue. And from a maintenance standpoint, in my discussions with Bo, we want to be able to raise the elevation of the lid on the lift station itself because it is getting some sheet flow and groundwater infiltration into it. Mm-hmm. So we need to basically dig that out and then basically seal that up because it's getting into the lift station. So it's not a big price tag. It is kind of a maintenance issue, and it's been a headache for a while. And we got it on the list to try to get it knocked out this year.
Good.
So. Project 7 is Pump Station 19. We want to look at doing an additional generator at this site and upgrading the controls. This is near Malloy Village, for those of you who don't know. And it's a fairly remote location with a shallow wet well. So some needed upgrades there and also a generator because it is not the easiest to respond to in a very timely manner when it does fail. Project 8 is LaBounty Drive. This is between I-5 to Nordic Way. This is an area where we have some issues with the existing sewer as it is. Basically, it's just one that's age and deterioration, needs to be replaced. So we've identified a section of fairly large main. Right now, it's a 21-inch concrete. We want to change that out with 24-inch PVC to get better flow, better lifespan out of it. So we've identified this one. This is going to be a little bit of a traffic challenge, as you can imagine, when we get to doing it. And we'll likely try to consolidate this with some of the other sewer main replacement projects or rehab projects that are in the list for this year and next. This is one where I wasn't necessarily confident that we could get it completed in 15, so I wanted at least to have it designed, ready, and done. Potentially, maybe around the fourth quarter of 15, we could start. Weather permitting, and roll it into 16. So you'll see basically almost a 50-50 split on the budget for this project, assuming that we would likely get into construction this year. I was being optimistic, I think, though. Councilmember Ingram?
Given the potential for some major development in that area, is there any way that we could recoup some of this money from a developer as sewer impact fees? You know, I mean, if they're going to put something major in that general area around Nordic Way, it would be nice if we could help some of those developers pay for some of this. I don't know if that's legal or not, even. I mean, I don't know.
Park
impact fees and traffic impact fees, but sewer impact fees, I'm not sure of.
Well, let me do my best to answer that. In this instance, it's and this is my approach to those kind of questions, is sewer demand fees are a buy-in. If you're adding an impact to the system, like a new development, you pay your fair share to buy into the system. Maybe we need more capacity at the plant. Maybe we need a lift station. Maybe we need bigger pipe. In this instance, it's an aging pipe that we own and maintain it. It's failing. It's reaching past its reusable life. It's time to replace it. In those instances, that's what kind of rate payments for. That's what we collect rates for, is to maintain what we've got. And since this doesn't really constitute an upgrade that's going to benefit undeveloped properties in the area, I would say no. I wouldn't advise trying to collect from a developer for those for these kind of costs in this instance. So hopefully that answers your question.
With that, the same thing I was going to ask, it's kind of the same thing.
Sure.
But if you've got something going in there that needs to have capacity and we're increasing the capacity, it seems kind of like they're getting a free pass.
We're only increasing the capacity because 24-inch PVC is cheaper than 21-inch. So for us to change the pipe diameter isn't going to greatly affect capacity as much as it's, we're moving to a more modern pipe type. We don't usually put a lot of concrete in the ground anymore. So maybe I misspoke that initially. It will add some capacity just because of the different pipe type. Roughness coefficient on the inside of a plastic pipe versus a concrete pipe are significantly different. So you'll just see it in different.
The other part of the question is there anybody anticipated going in there that we should get this done before they get in there?
Or during?
Not that we're prepared to disclose at this time.
Thank you. That's a great answer. Did Sam write that for you?
Sam can't speak
today.
So this is a maintenance project. I'll leave it at that for the moment. Councilman Mushler, did you have a question? Okay. Sorry, I missed you there a few minutes ago. So, if you have any questions, just holler. Okay. So Project 9 is Malloy Avenue. This is from Thornton to Oxford Court. This ties in with Projects 10 and 11. So I'll walk through this in a little bit. Yeah, Project 10 and 11. We would like to, with the new comp plan that we are working on right now, the new sewer comprehensive plan, and as soon as it's done, we'll be bringing it forward for a little bit additional discussion about the capital improvement plans associated with that. We changed course a little bit on how we're going to convey water off the hill, wastewater off the hill. At this point, we've made a decision to move forward with an alternative, given the Thornton Road overpass and that right-of-way, making better use of that with a trunk main coming down through there and tying into the system that's has better capacity down at the roundabout of Portal. So in order to do that, there's three projects that need to happen, and then a benefit of those three projects is we're going to be able to decommission a pump station at the end of that. That's about 2 years out, that being pump station 11. Right? 10. Pump station 10. This project on Malloy Avenue is the first piece of what needs to be upsized in order to basically now circumvent our wastewater off the hillside in a different way than was originally designed. The price to do this is not going to be any more than what was already in the CIP. We've basically taken another alternative route on how we're going to supply that, that conveyance system, if you will, down to the treatment plant. So this segment needs to be upgraded along Malloy Avenue, and as you go to Project 10, which is the Thornton extension, this will actually tie into that new 15-inch PVC on Malloy, and we will be rerouting that sewer, which now kind of goes back behind the houses along Malloy, kind of to the east. There's an 8-inch main that has, it's reaching its capacity. There's a couple development proposals that have come up along there, and the question has been raised on why, because at one point that was proposed to be upgraded to a 15-inch trunk main through there. It's a really difficult project to overcome. It's in backyards. It's partially fenced. Extremely hard access. So that coupled with the potential for Thornton and having the right-of-way available and the sized pipe we need down at the portal roundabout, it makes sense to come up with a slightly different plan to divert that stream. It'll alleviate the pressure for capacity on that 8-inch, and that's where Project 11 ties in, which is a slip lining project of that 8-inch main. That'll give us plenty of capacity. That concrete pipe is not in the best condition through there, so we would have slip lined it regardless from a maintenance standpoint in order to get some life back into it. We'll get about 30 to 40 more years life out of it being slip lined. It's a good candidate at this point from what we've seen. We've CCTV'd it. We've gone back through it, but replacing in kind with a larger pipe is going to be really challenging and expensive. So we've got kind of an alternate plan there. So I want to kind of elaborate a little bit more than you'll read in a sentence or two in these descriptions, but those three all kind of intertie into what's going to be coming forward in our new updated comprehensive plan. So as if that makes sense. Councilmember Birch.
There's a small typo on there on S10. It should read 2015 through spring 2016.
Well, thank you. I'll make sure to get that fixed. So any questions on those three kind of interconnected projects? Okay. Project 13 is Sterling Avenue between Maine and Washington. This is It's really more of a maintenance agent deterioration. We've had some failures. Pipes reached its useful life, so we're going to replace it. In addition to that, there's three smaller projects, 17, 18, and 19, which is Aquarius, Apollo, and Alder Street. We'll most likely consolidate all these into one project, if not in addition to the Sterling Avenue. We have a little bit of internal discussion to see how we're going to package this up for construction. But these are smaller projects. There's pipe bellies. It's a maintenance issue. We've looked at, again, we've gone back through to see if the pipe condition has worsened since it was last inspected. So these have all been reinspected, and the recommendation from our operations crews was to go ahead and move forward with replacement of those pipe segments. Any questions on those? Okay. We're moving great. This is awesome. So water and sewer, everyone's okay. Good deal. So with that, I'll roll into stormwater in a little bit.
Can we do 13 and 17, 18, 19?
Pardon me?
There's extra...
Yeah, we went. I went ahead and consolidated those just for simplicity, because that's kind of.
Okay.
So for storm projects, the first is the Brown Road Culvert. Had a great discussion with BNSF yesterday out in the field. I'll probably come back and update a little bit on what the railroad's doing this year. It's a pretty good size project with realigning the main line and adding a second track in sections north, kind of north of the city. It'll have a traffic impact, and I don't think there's going to be any doubt about it on Grandview, Brown Road, and some of the neighborhoods to the north. How much, we don't know yet. As we develop a schedule with them between now and probably the end of March, they should have a bid package ready for their project around the end of March. We're going to try to lag a little bit behind them at this point, even though we're at about 95% design. We could be ready to go soon. We're both waiting on JARPA permits from the Corps. So until we have those, neither group, BNSF or ourselves, can go. This project is a culvert replacement. We're going to replace it with most likely a three-sided box culvert with a gravel bottom for fish passage. There have been indications that there is fish in the corridor, so we're going to move forward with the design. This also, and Wendy may have brought this forward in the past, is some indications that there's some failure compacted, or some of the backfill failure under the roadbed as a result around that culvert has kind of shown up, which is what moved this project up. It was slated for next year. We're going to move it up to this year. That coupled with BNSF's project coming through the corridor, we could take advantage of some consolidated savings for pavement, and we're only about 150 feet away from where they're going to be doing work. So we're going to go ahead and do some improvements to Brown Road. And they've agreed to collaborate on traffic control and pavement bidding and things like that. So we're going to move forward and try and partner with them a little bit on this project. It's about a 14-foot box culvert, just to give you some dimensions and scale. Excuse me. Any questions?
What is this?
Okay.
Yeah, actually.
Councilmember Ingram?
Something that has crossed my mind a couple of times, and I don't know if there's any validity to the concept or not. Brown Road, that grade crossing is a very deep crossing. It's right on a curve. Is there any thought been given to the possibility of offering BNSF opportunity to close that cross and just shuttle things to Washington Street and La Bounty, or not, excuse me, La Bounty, Grandview, which is the way most of us go anyway. We don't go over Brown. It's just it's a terrible crossing. They supposedly improved it a couple of years ago and actually made it worse.
At Grandview, you mean?
No, at Brown.
At Brown.
So, yeah, they went in there and tore everything up. Did a bunch of improvements that made it work. So, I mean, it's just one of those things that if we could close it, we'd probably get a lot of flack from a lot of people. But it might be worth at least having a conversation about it.
You know, I'm not opposed to it. I don't have all the history, you know, being here the short time that I have to be able to really I mean, it's a very good question, and I know BNSF, any alternative they can have, or any opportunity to remove an at-grade crossing, they certainly perk their ears up and will listen to reason. But I, not having looked at the zoning or our transportation plan offhand, I couldn't hazard a guess whether that would be the right way to go or if we need to look at other alternatives.
Was that mentioned, Greg, on that conference? I know they've mentioned Ferndale Road, but not...
Yeah, they talked about the crossing over in front of Superfeet, wanting to eventually close that. It would be Smith, I guess that'd be.
Mm-hmm.
Extension of Smith. But no, they didn't mention Brown.
Okay.
You start talking to them, make sure you get something out of them.
That's just what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, okay, what could we
what get? What could we get
out of it? Well, I'd have to see the traffic numbers, though. I would say that's pretty impressive traffic numbers there.
Yeah, the only issue might be if Brown Road did not go all the way out to Portal, any future industrial development, instead of them heading north on Portal to go on I-5, they would by necessity go down Molloy and I guess get on the freeway via Thornton if we built it by then.
Yeah.
Right now our comp plans are, we're trying to discourage, other than local traffic on Molloy. So we're trying to move...
Yeah.
The zone, any of the zoned industrial commercial north to Grandview would be the ideal, and that's how we would approach that planning and conditions of development. And Yori, if you have any comments to that effect.
No, I think I agree. Doing something like that would represent a fairly dramatic change to our overall comp plan. Doesn't mean that we couldn't go that way. It's just we haven't thought about going that way.
I'd want to see some traffic numbers for that.
Yeah. A lot of people, I go that way.
When it's future, I mean, our North Shore friends, North Shore, there's future development there.
Yeah. Well, I would imagine that the rope manufacturer has people using it that way.
Yeah. I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah. Residential?
Right, I'd want to see traffic numbers.
Yeah.
We would say that was a good idea.
It would almost be something we'd probably consider, the Thornton Overpass, Devil's Advocate, was built tomorrow. We might be having a different discussion because we would have, a much stronger kind of minor arterial connector to get people on and off the I-5 and Portal. But right now, not so much. But that's a good point, Councilmember Ingram. And never hurts to have the discussion, certainly.
Yeah.
So Project 12, which is the Nooksack River Outfall and Washdot Ditch Cleaning, the WR numbers and WD numbers are just identifiers we've used to point out certain segments of open ditch or closed conveyance pipe through that corridor. This project would be kind of designed in 15, built in 16. Right now we statistically run at 100% capacity at times during some smaller weather events through here, although we have not seen any localized flooding. So it tells me we have a little bit of time. This is part and parcel with the Gateway study that was done. There was a list of projects identified out of that study for this area, and this was basically the first project in a list of about three or four to improve the reach through there, and also goes backwater all the way through the intersection at Interstate 5 and Main, crossing at LaBounty. There's some undersized pipe in that area. Quite a bit of ditch that has overgrown and is not adequately sized in order to convey water to the river. So we basically this proposes to start basically at the low end, working back through the system in order to get that capacity back and also improve capacity for potentially future development. So it does require some partnering with WashDOT because a lot of this is within their right-of-way thus far. Not surprisingly, they have not shown a remarkable interest in fixing it themselves. So this is pretty common for jurisdictions like ourselves dealing in my dealings with WashDOT that unless they absolutely need to if they don't absolutely need to do it to preserve the interstate, they're going to fall back to the local jurisdictions to try to fix some of these drainage problems if it's going to basically show any benefit to the city. In this case, the conveyance issue that we have, the capacity issue, is our water coming off of areas of the city discharging onto WashDOT. So that's kind of the break point when they'll make a decision on whether they're willing to make or pony up funding to assist with that, pay for it themselves, or basically take a hands off and say, okay, you have the problem off site and you're bringing it to us. So how are you going to fix that? So this is an instance where it's ditch cleaning work on their right of way, but we also have some pipe conveyance issues we've got to deal with ourselves along Main Street. So this project helps alleviate some of the capacity issues we're seeing from here coming off of the Little Bounty area. It's an existing problem, so if and when that area ever develops further or redevelops, however the case may be, potentially, this is going to be an issue, and it is an issue today as far as from what I can tell. So is there any questions on that? That's kind of a lot of information for me to throw out at you.
Where exactly are you talking about with this last one here?
So this is from, it basically, the outfall is right near the bridge at I-5 at Rucksack, kind of along the southwest corner on the south bank. There's open conveyance from roughly that area back parallel to the interstate, follows past what will be the Motel 6 through that area, and then there's another section that basically comes down towards the intersection of La Bounty, and there's a culvert, deep culvert that crosses through there underneath the earthen berm that was built for the interstate.
And you're saying that the water, the rain, storm water, I guess, off of La Bounty is what's clogging up those ditches as opposed to runoff from the freeway?
Well, the condition of the ditch is relative to both, right? There's factors from what's our influence and what's influence off of the interstate. The ditches convey both. So predominantly it's pulling a lot of the stormwater runoff from areas of the city out into the I-5 corridor. But there is an impact. So it's a good point. There is an impact from the interstate, that southbound.
I would think that would be much bigger than crummy little hunk of La Bounty as opposed to the interstate. I mean, just the sheer volume that's going to land on the interstate and roll off as opposed to the volume on the piece of La Bounty that's going to roll off. What I'm getting I personally am tired of the state shucking its responsibilities for everything and expecting us to do it and pick up all these little things like this. And this is just the kind of thing that just aggravates the hell out of me. When you can't tell me that this is more our problem than it is their problem. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just trying to say the interstate gets a lot more water on it than our little hunk of a bounty.
Well, let me answer that question. The development within the La Bounty area, so not just La Bounty Drive itself, the road, those areas all kind of discharge into this same system.
Mm-hmm.
The only one, I mean, for example, Hagen, that whole area, the past cost cutter site that goes through they have a detention pond, but then that discharges as well into that parts of this system. The washout portion.
We're just on the north part of. So you're saying also the south part?
It all discharges to
the river.
Yeah. So when we did the study, it's kind of a capacity corridor. You've got this area, then it's all kind of funneled down into this little area, and that little area is conveying it out to the river. So what we've ran into is there's these ditches that are undersized. They've been under-maintained in the state right-of-way, which is the no-fly zone for the city of Ferndale. We can't just go out into the I-5 corridor and do maintenance work. That's the least expense of this project would be to clean those up, but we need to expand them. And the state says, fine, you can expand them. We don't need it to be expanded. They have capacity for what the state needs for, you know, one half of the Interstate 5, which is one half of one lane on the northbound side, which is what it runs off into.
Mm-hmm.
So of the four lanes, there's only one lane of that interstate that's actually utilizing this ditch. The ditch's primary purpose was the impact that the interstate had, you know, bisecting the city. So when that happened, there was probably conveyance out to a marshland, which used to be the golf course at one point or another. That all got channeled when the interstate came through. And so what might be helpful is I can bring a little bit of information at a future council date and talk for 15 minutes or less about that study so you can kind of see the area I'm talking about and then see the full list of projects. We were trying to kind of get out in front of it this year with some design.
Is that the one Wendy did when she and Bo went around and looked at all the old stuff and tried to find the...
Yeah, and so we completed the study in December, and so Wendy, before she went on maternity leave in November, we sat down with Dale Byes with Reichard and Eby, who basically authored the report, sat down with Greg and Mark. We worked through some budget on what that would look like for about a 3 or 4 year project schedule in order to fix the capacity issue that's there today. Because otherwise, if anyone were to come in and develop, we're going to be in this difficult position where we would have to say no. Because they're going to have to detain, you know, if, let's say someone moves in there, it gets redeveloped and it's a large scale redevelopment. They're going to have the same conditions of having to do their own stormwater pond, you know, detention and conveyance. So we wouldn't be able to necessarily get a private developer to write us a check to fix this problem if it's existing, because we would have all these other conditions that we would have to kind of put on them in stormwater from the stormwater perspective of detaining their own impacts, mitigating their own water quality issues created by redevelopment. So I would love to say we could hold off and just ask the next developer to write a check for it. But
no,
the study results said
that. As long as we're doing our part and they're doing their part.
Yes.
That's all.
Yeah. The good news would be, like, if we did get a large development and a large, you know, demand charge collected as a result of that development, I mean, that's going to repay the expense that the city's incurred for this maintenance. So...
Are you talking also just about pipes or some kind of rain garden? Or
this is purely a capacity constraint.
You're just going to dig it out?
Most of it's just a dig-out project, okay. And then there's a few sections of pipe in this first phase that would have to be replaced.
But you, on that study, I guess to answer him, though, is the study would show how much of that capacity is ours and how much is related to I-5. I think we'd probably be surprised to know our percentage is larger.
Yeah. And that's why I offer it up. I think it would be good information.
Yeah.
Because this won't be the first time you'll see this, so maybe it'd be worthwhile to spend a few minutes in an upcoming session and just walk through that study.
So when Wendy and you just focus on that one question.
Yeah.
What's the percentage?
It just seems like a lot of money to dig out the ditch. I think that's the biggest thing. It's like, I know it's a long ditch, but $500,000 to dig out the ditch.
Well, I was kind of thinking on the upper end closer to Main Street. That's some serious logging just to be able to dig up the ditch.
Yeah, it's significantly overgrown with alder and some other species. So it's kind of not your normal.
Motel 6 would probably help you contribute to the logging.
They may have already.
So. In a roundabout way. To be discussed later. All right, you have about 15 minutes there, my friend.
Okay. So the last stormwater project we have, which is kind of contingent on a receipt of a grant for a little over $250,000 from DOE, is the Third Avenue Stormwater and Street Improvements. Speaking of rain gardens, this would be kind of a enhanced water quality project and aesthetics, so the street itself could use some work. So in order to help with the resurfacing and adding the water quality benefits that would be needed with resurfacing, this project was submitted to DOE. So we'll know here probably within the next couple of months, I would suspect, on how awards are looking for DOE.
How deep under surface were you going out?
On
that section of road?
Are you completely replacing it?
Where I'm going with this is where the chamber and lots of people store things in the garage facility that's at the end of the bank facility. That place is just a wet nightmare. Amazing amount of moisture.
Yeah, I don't know if this project's going to alleviate, if they've got groundwater getting into a basement, this project it's not going to exacerbate it. It might improve it a little bit if we put it
in. I'll take a little bit of improvement.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Anytime you overlay a road, if it's cracked up and starting to alligator, anything that's getting in the road bed may have the potential to migrate.
Okay. So any improvement would be great.
So stay tuned on that. If we move forward and are successful in the grant opportunity, we'll move forward with that. So that's it for the stormwater projects. If everyone has the energy, we'll go into streets for a little bit.
Hurry,
keep going.
Okay, hurry. We'll keep mowing through here. Appreciate your time. So the first project is Washington Street, which we've talked about before, and right now all signs point to that being a fully funded project for design this year with construction next year. The only caveat would be the final state budget for the Safe Routes to School portion of that grant, which is about $200,000 of the total project cost. So I will certainly be keeping you updated on the progress of that as we go into design this year.
Is this something you could do in a summer once the kids are gone and then get it done before they come back?
90-day window, or yeah. Less than 90. But
that's a lot of work.
We could certainly mitigate the impact. I'll let Katie tell you that she can do it.
Katie can do it.
So
get that bull whip out. Get that bull whip out, Katie.
We will
speak bull whip.
Just the summertime?
Really what takes a long time is upgrading utilities. I mean, if you're talking about widening a street and tearing it out and putting in sidewalks, you know, that's the fast part.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'm not the only one who will tell you that that would not be a great project to be torn up while school is in session.
No.
Yeah, I'm sure lots of people will agree with that statement.
Well, we'll certainly try to develop a schedule that creates the least impact to the school and those students. Second Street project is Main Street Bridge load rating. Pretty straightforward. Never have done a load rating. We're going to do one this year.
It's never ever?
To my knowledge, never ever.
Can't we just park a bunch of cars?
Hard to believe that the bridge was completely rebuilt and open for service, and they didn't do a load rating.
Yeah, this, which is uncommon, but when you're a city with one bridge, it falls under the FHWA regulations for load rating and regular inspections. We're compliant in every other aspect, so we're going to move forward on the load rating for the bridge. It's
I hope we pass.
An academic exercise. I think we'll be okay, but we'll see. Project 4, I'll be bringing some more info to you. This would be our annual sidewalk replacement. Bo and I and Katie, whether she realizes it yet or not, will be involved in developing a sidewalk replacement project for this year. This may tie in with some other projects where we can, but we're also going to be looking at areas where, as you can see in some of the photos, some areas that we could really use. So, Project 5 is Main Street, I-5 to 3rd. This was in the six-year dip for needed improvement. A lot of this is crack seal, a whole lot of crack seal, and a couple of large patches that I tried to describe for you there in the project narrative. Pretty straightforward, not the most expensive project. Ties with Project 6, which is the Main Street I-5 ramp to Barrett. It's very similar body of work, but one's going to, well, both will have traffic impacts, as you can imagine. And timing will be very important on when we're able to actually do the work. In fact, we may even consider doing some of this at night, depending on how things go. Make some friends that way. We'll kind of cross that bridge, if you will, as we get to it. The most one I'm curious about is Barrett Road and how we'll manage impacts to traffic through there when the timing comes to do the repairs.
Don't do it an Old Settlers Weekend or the Street Festival Weekend.
Well, we're also working around a partial lane closure on the Slater Nooksack Bridge at sometime in July or early August for about 2-3 weeks while the county does some painting of that bridge. So we've already kind of reached out and we're working on schedules so that this with the Brown Road and with the BNSF, we've already started discussions with everybody to get on the same page as far as schedule. So you don't suddenly have the county come in and start doing chip seal, crack sealing the west side of the county exactly when we're in the middle of doing work on Main Street and everyone's trying to navigate around that.
It's exciting to see crack seal.
If you really are into that thing, it's really interesting.
It'll look beautiful when you're done.
It'll be great. Okay, we got a few minutes here. Project 7, roundabout at Main La Bounty. You'll see in the lower left there, I included an exhibit from basically a sketch that was done on how that might look, which is pretty amazing from a traffic perspective. This is an opportunity to move forward a little bit further in the design for that intersection improvement, moving forward with a roundabout concept. So basically, it's a chunk of design money in order to move that forward a little bit further and kind of refine what that's going to look like, what that's going to cost, schedule, and also the timing. So we try to time this right so we're getting, making these, any future requests for funding or expenses for this intersection, we do it at the right time for the right reasons. So that'll be kind of, this will get us a little bit further to that and also a little bit further to, puts us in a better position to pursue funding alternatives too.
I'm assuming that you couldn't do a mini roundabout in one of these things. Just start this with a mini roundabout, or is it just too big?
Too many lanes.
Yeah, it's too much traffic volume, I would think, for a mini.
It just looks amazing like that. I'll just be in there for years. You'll just have to come get me.
Going round and round and round.
Mm-hmm. Well, the problem with that particular roundabout, as I see it, unless they do something.
You're not in time. Cut this discussion.
The 262 exit. That roundabout is just going to be a parking lot because that light turns red up the overpass, and that's too short of approach.
So let's hold that. We can bring the discussion back to the roundabout back in regular session. Let's get him through this workshop before the 6 o'clock.
So we can blaze the rest of this. Project 8 is the annual crack sealing. We'll bring a list forward so you'll have another opportunity to kind of see what we're planning for. Bo and I are still working on a plan. Project 9, roundabout at Washington Vista, it was requested to move up the demolition of the house, so we're moving forward with asbestos abatement and demolition. So I wanted to make sure that you saw that we heard you. It's on the list, and we're certainly going to move forward probably the first quarter of this year to get that house removed.
It cannot happen too soon.
From a nuisance perspective.
Thank you.
You need a couple of matches or a can of gas right now, Bill.
Let's
go with this. Okay, we'll strike that comment. Okay. Moving forward.
So Project 10, the ever-popular Thornton BNSF overpass. We needed some additional design money. We want to move closer to 30% design, again, putting us in better position for funding opportunities. Closer we are to the shovel-ready world. I'm trying to do it as lean as I can from an expense standpoint to get us further into design. So this is kind of the second phase. Right now we're working on a final scope for sheer design to push us through that second phase and get us a little closer to it, a more solid design that's a little more marketable for funding. So,
you know, can we, Council, looking at the last part in terms of facilities, some of this I think you're going to want to talk a little more. Do we want to move this, I mean, it's a light agenda, move it to the last of the agenda in the regular session, or we want to have another, because this doesn't leave us much time to...
Yeah, do it tonight. It would take probably 15 minutes. And
we won't have to have another one?
Yes.
We don't have 15 minutes, so.
No, at the end of it.
Yes.
Put it on the end of the
meeting. Is everybody okay to, let's look at our schedule and let's reserve the issue that we can go into the Capitol facilities at the end. Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll go take a break till 6 o'clock.
Yes.